So we'll talk a little bit about the Mariana Vua with the SNAP. Okay. So Pasuk says that the Vayinigas Aton Acham Midbar Vayovor Al Haro Lekim Choreva. So Moshe Rosh Son Yisuch Chosno Koin Midyan. So that was to the same Har, which is Har Sinai, which would be Har Sinai. Vayero Malach Hashem Elov B'Labas Eish Mitoch Asnam. Vinei Asnam Bo Bo Eish. Are we on? Asnam in Uko. Vayamu Moshe Asurno V'Eres Amar Gudla Zer Madua Leiva Asnam. Vayard Hashem Kisol Leros, Vayikro Elov Lekim Mitoch Asnah, Vayama Moshe Moshe, Vayama Yain. Okay. Then the Pasuk says, Vayama Al Tikrav Halom, Shalmi Olecho Me'al Reglecho, Ki Amokom Asher Ta'omid Olov Admas Kodeshu. So the two instructions he received. One instruction was Al Tikrav Halom, and the second one was Shal No Lecha Me'al Raglecha. Okay. Now the first Tzivui Al Tikrav Halom was, what was that Tzivui Al Tikrav Halom? So the Ramban says, at this point, he hadn't reached his great Mila of Nevua. Ki Bahar Sinai, Nigash El HaRofel Asher Shom HaLikim. So on Har Sinai, he was allowed to approach the Arofel. Okay. That was at Sinai. So Sinai, which was the phenomenon on the Rosh Ahar. He says the chain inyan astaras punim, and so too the fact that he hid his face. Shadayin lo omash lamash and nema ba usmunas adeshem yabit. He hadn't yet reached the level of usmunas adeshem yabit. So from this point on, from the point of the Mara Nevuah of the Labas Eish Mitoch Hasneh, from that point on he was destined to reach the greatest heights of Nevuah in that short time, from the Mara Nevuah of the Sneh until the Mara Nevuah of Maimon Har Sinai, and it was in the same place. So Ramban's really explaining the idea was in the same place. That at that point, the snare was at the same position as the Arufel was on Har Sinai, but then he wasn't permitted to go up to the Makom HaSneh, to the Rosh, which was below Shahar. But later, he would be permitted because he reached the level where he'd be permitted to approach closer to the Arufel. Moshe Nigash al-Rafal HaShashom al-Lakim. So in that short span of time, the time of the Makos, the Tzias Mitzrayim, in that short span of time, which was several months, he was able to reach the heights that he attained as the great Navi. That level, the highest level of Navi attainable. The level that's qualitatively the French from Shor Navi. So it's an interesting thing. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu really in this Mara Nevuah, he didn't want to take on the responsibility. And he didn't want to be the individual that's the shaliach that is Moshe on Shal Yisrael. He didn't want to take it on. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to continue in being a Roi Tzion. And obviously, up to this point, he reached a tremendously high level of a Navi. From the fact that he was able to have that Maran Avuah in the snare. The Maran Avuah in the snare. So you see that he was, his being a Roi Tzion, the time of a Roi Tzion, that during the process of being a Roi Tzion, and all the years before, he had a lot of time to pursue metaphysical knowledge and Chachmas Hashem, and he pursued it, and he was successful, and he reached the level of the Maran Nevuah of the Sneh. But the level that he was to attain in the short few months that followed, which was the level of Sinai, that he was still distant from. So the Ramban says, "Vayasta Moshe Panos," because he knew his own limitation, and he wasn't able to go any further in his chachma and his pursuit of chachmas Hashem yediyas Hashem. So it's an interesting thing, but which really shows you a big yisod in the Yahadus, the way that we look at chachma. And that is that one would think that what would be the correct way to pursue chachma and to pursue metaphysical knowledge? So the best way would be to have a situation of calm, a situation where one is in a quiet environment, where one can indulge oneself completely, fully, in pursuit of knowledge, pursuit of chachma. Certainly, in the world of philosophy, the philosophers or the intellectuals of the world would certainly say that the conditions that are best for study and for speculation and for pursuit of chachma would be his previous conditions of being a Roi Tzion, where he has time, the Roi Tzion has a lot of time for himself, or being in the house of Paro, where he didn't have any obligations or any burdens, he was free to pursue Chachmas Hashem. And you see that he was very successful. But from that, if one were to ask someone what would be the best advice, the best situation for Moshe Rabbeinu to rise to the highest level, so one would certainly say, a secular intellectual would certainly say that the best situation would be to continue in the same state that he had been in up to that point, which is a state where he's relaxed, he doesn't have any burdens, any obligations, but is free for his mind to roam and to pursue and to engage in the world of ideas, in the world of Chachmas Hashem, the infinite world of Chachmas Hashem. That would be the best situation. But we see that the Torah says that that's not true. On the contrary, through the taking on the most difficult and the most strenuous task, which was to do things which were very, very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to do. And we'll see later in the where he basically tries to get out of the field, and he argues with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Ish Dvar Manochi, and Shlach Nabi Atishlach, and his whole dialogue in the Maran Nevuah is all that is certainly attests to the fact that this was something which was very, very difficult for him to undertake and very strenuous. And yet, in that strenuous undertaking, he reached the highest level of Nevuah possible for any human being. that's what the that's what Yehadas teaches us. So the idea apparently, according to Yehadas, the idea, the common notion, philosophical idea, that the conditions necessary for a person, the ordinary conditions that one would think would advance an individual in Chachma, in Chachmas Hashem, apparently Yehadas held that that conclusion is not a simple matter. But on the contrary, the conclusion is just the opposite, that by undertaking the Tzivui Hashem, he reached the very highest levels, which he never would have reached had he continued to be a Roei Tzion and continued to have the perfect circumstances for the pursuit of knowledge. So really, this shows us a completely different idea about knowledge. And I think we were discussing it last time we're doing the Gemara in the end of Nida, where the Gemara says that a person that wants Chachma should be Nispal. That the concept in Yehadas is that the intellectual powers of a human being is not the root, and I'm going to qualify what I'm saying, just trying to bring it out in the best possible way. But apparently the common notion that the mind is like a machine, a great power, and if you allow it to function in the conditions which are most appropriate for its function, that you will attain success, just like you would attain success in any other endeavor, where you have the abilities and the machinery, so to speak, which produces the necessary result. So if the machinery is placed in operation, so a natural result is that it will attain its goal. Apparently with the human intellect, that's not the case. It does not work that way. That the human mind, the magnificent creation of the human mind, the Tzelem Elokim, which is the function of Chachma, cannot be placed in the same kind of a framework. You can't say, take it and put it in its best environment, and then it'll naturally progress and succeed and attain its goal. It doesn't work in this area that way. It is counterintuitive. On the contrary, the individual can attain the greatest knowledge by being in the worst circumstances that one would imagine for the mind to be relaxed and to function. So the Torah rejects the idyllic notion that you could take a person with a Tzelem Elokim, and the way for him to attain knowledge is to place that entity, the mind, the human mind, and the environment that would be most natural for it. And that is the way that it will succeed. Apparently, Hadas rejects, vehemently rejects, that commonplace notion. And on the contrary, the Torah teaches that Chachmas Hashem could be available to an individual in circumstances that are least free and least conducive for the function of the element of the Tzelem Elokim. And that we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, that before he undertook the awesome responsibility, he reached the level of the snare. But from the snare to the level of Peel Peah Dabar Bo, that level, the highest level of Nevuah, he traversed that distance in under the most difficult and the most adverse circumstances possible for his mind. Not a state of relaxation and a state of contemplation, but a state in which his powers and his energies were drawn in all directions and doing things that were really alien and to his nature, completely against him, and completely against him in terms of even in terms of his physical abilities. That's what Yehadis teaches in describing the ascent of Moshe Rabbeinu to the highest level of an oven. And the truth of the matter is that that's true by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not just an exceptional case, but really that's really the philosophy of Kol HaTorah Kula. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, in taking on the most difficult circumstances, in spite of that, the Mayonos HaChochma became open to him, and he reached the highest level. So too, in every individual, in a smaller way, the same thing is true as well. And that's really what the Gemara says, in Nidah. That's, if you really want to put it into the proper framework, that's really what is a result of the Maima Chazal. And the Gemara that we mentioned, the Gemara Nidah, and the end of Nidah. So the Gemara says, "Yispar l'misha ha'chachma shalal." That a person would think, "Why should I be mispalo? I mean, after all, if I want to be a great intellect, so why should I waste my time in tefillah? I mean, hours spent in tefillah." Chazal say that the Hasidim Rishonim spent shoachas kodem tefillason, and shoachas la'achat tefillason, and shoachas betfilasan. So Chazal ish, that's and many hours in the day, almost 9 hours a day, perhaps. So how could you spend so much time in tefillah? So and how could they succeed in chachma? Haisa taras and shama. So and so it's true in our halachic system as well. If a person will say that rather than being the spalo, I'll learn another daf. I'll learn another idea. I'll pursue another idea in the Rambam, another idea in the Tesis. So you would think that through that, logic would dictate, it would seem, that would be the most appropriate method to attain greater knowledge. The more time spent in knowledge, the more knowledge one attains. But Yehadis says no, not true. Then on the contrary, that such an individual will never be able to reach the level that he could have had he spent that time in tefillah. Yispalo l'misha chachma shalal. That there is a concept of the opening up of the mayonos hachachma. And the opening up of the mayonos hachachma doesn't come like in ordinary activities, by simply engaging in the activity and using and applying the machinery that's appropriate for that activity. That's not the way it works over here. Over here, it's a different system. Over here, the system is that the pursuit of perfection and the same thing is true of all the mitzvahs, that the mitzvahs, one would think that the mitzvahs is a tarti to sasri to Talmud Torah, after all. Why should a person engage in mitzvahs when he can be learning Torah? But the answer is on the contrary, that the engaging in mitzvahs is the very thing which perfects the individual, and through that perfection, the mayonos hachochma become open to him. So it's exactly the opposite. That's really an essential idea in Yehadis, that Chochmah is a different kind of a thing. Chokhmah is not something that you could place in the same framework of ordinary pursuits. And if a person is a misrashel b'mitzvah, if a person does not pursue a mitzvah, and he looks at Chokhmah in an ordinary, places it in an ordinary framework, then he not only will he not have the mitzvah, of course, but the Chokhmah will be barred from the Chokhmah as well. It's an intrinsic limitation on his ability to attain ideas and to attain Chokhmah. That's a yesod in Kola Torah Kula. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. The first few psukim in Mishlei, in Perek Beis, where Shlomo HaMelech says that. So there's a whole preparatory system. So in order for a person to attain insight and chokhmah, you cannot take chokhmah and put it into the ordinary mode that is successful and that is in attaining its goal in every other kind of pursuit. In every other kind of pursuit, that logic is true. That if you want to be successful, so then you have to be able to know what the proper machinery you need in order to effectuate the goal, and then one must immerse all the energy that one has into that system. But over here, it's completely different. Over here, on the contrary, a person that does that will miss Chokhmah. His mind will be engaged in a lot of activity, but the insight and the openings of the Chokhmah and the Das will not be available to him. Yeah, and the only way that the Mayonos HaChokhmah are open to a person is through pursuit of perfection, and that means mitzvahs. So when the person is mispalel, he's engaging in pursuit of chachma. When the person does mitzvahs, he's removing intellectual limitations. That's what the Rambam says, that every imperfection is a mechitza for an Adam, bein Adam levein kana. That every imperfection is an obstacle. And an obstacle is an obstacle not in an emotional sense. It's an obstacle in an intellectual sense, because the essence of an individual's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests in the intellectual, in Chokhmah. So every mitzvah that the individual is misrashel in is an intellectual limitation. If a person will think that I won't do this mitzvah, but I won't get the mitzvah, but intellectually I'll be able to gain, and he's wrong. He doesn't realize it, but he's wrong. Intellectually, he's stagnating. He cannot move beyond the point where he's at. He could spin his wheels. I mean, he can engage in the world of ideas. But the great insights will be barred from. Just as an example from the world of knowledge of physics. Physicists tell us that at the time of Newton, there was no reason why one couldn't have one couldn't have discovered Einstein's theory of relativity. There was nothing there that prevented it logically, but and if an individual would have had that insight, so he would have been ahead in science by 150 years. So one insight is worth years and years of toil and years and years of intellectual work and study. But that insight wasn't available. It wasn't Kereshem Yitei Chachma Mikiz Das Asuna. So in our system, in the system of Yahadis, our system is a qualitative system. It's a completely different idea. And that, I would say, is a yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula, that he who wishes Chachma cannot look at Chachma in an ordinary sense, but must realize that Chachma is his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is determined by his perfection. And insofar as the individual has barriers because he lacks in perfection, he lacks intellectually. Our intellectual is a different kind of an intellectual. Completely, we view it completely differently than the secular philosopher or the secular intellectual, the secular thinker. It's a completely different notion, a completely different idea. That's really what the Torah teaches us with regard to that very first introductory Mare Hanavua that the Torah lets us know about with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. That at that point, he was not only not able to go up to the Rosh Ahar where the snare was, but he had to be master as Panav. Even in the position that he was at, Vayasta Moshe Panav, Ki Yore Mehabit Elohim, he wasn't on the level of Smudas of Hashem Yabit. Of course, it's his greatness that he realized that he wasn't on that level. He assessed himself correctly. But nevertheless, it shows clearly that he was, in fact, not on the level. And that was because he hadn't yet engaged in the Tzivui Hashem, which was, in spite of the fact that it was the most difficult undertaking in the world, it opened up for him the Mayanos HaChachma, which he would reach in several months by Maimon HaSinai. That's what the Ramban says. Okay. That's the first thing. Then the second thing, Ki Amoko Shalom No'alecho Me'al Reglecho. Ki Amakom Asher Ato Omed Olav Ad Mas Kodesh. So what is the meaning of this tzivui? Shalom Olecha Me'al Aglecha. Ki Amakom Asher Ato Omed Olav Ad Mas Kodesh. Why does he have to take off his shoes? I mean, what does it have to do with that? What does it mean, Ki Amakom Asher Ato Omed Olav Ad Mas Kodesh? What kind of kedusha does Amakom have? Yeah, what kind of kedusha? I mean, HaSinai really has no kedusha. HaSinai has no kedusha. Okay, the Mikdash has kedusha, but HaSinai has no kedusha. But over here in the Mount of Lord, he received the Yitzivui. Shalom Olecha Me'al Reglecha. That's one thing. Why? Ki Amakom Asher Ato Omed Olav Ad Mas Kodesh. So it's interesting. Ramban says, even though he was distant from the snare, his hero was there. Why? Okay, so the Hor was Niskadesh. Because of the Kedushas Hashchina. So, and just like that, momentarily, it's not that Makom has any Kedusha. The only place that has Kedusha with Doros is Har Moriah, is Har Bias. But this was the Skadesh Lizman, because the Shechina was on the Har. Moshe Bahoroyo, Kishom Ola, Shenemar, Vayovo al Harolakim Choreva. Vasneh Hoya Baroshahor. The snare was on the top of the mountain. Vine Kulo Kodosh. All right? So it was Kulo Neskadesh. And then the Ramban continues and he says, Va'osur bin Ilas Asandel. And Yinat, he was prohibited to wear shoes. V'kachomru. V'chol mokum sh'ashchino nidla. Wherever the Shechino is, osur bin Ilas Asandel. Okay. V'chein b'Yoshua, v'chein ha-kohanim lo shimshu b'migdash, elo yechefen. So the same thing is true with regard to Yoshua, and the same thing is true with regard to the Migdash. Lo shimshu b'migdash, elo yechefen. Okay, that's what the Ramban says. So why Nivilas HaSandel? I mean, what is the idea of Nivilas HaSandel? That the Ramban doesn't explain to us what the idea of Nivilas HaSandel is. But he does mention wherever there's Kedusha, so there's an Isra of Nivilas HaSandel. And he mentions that the same thing is true by Yahushua. Interesting is, yeah, so you'll say, where would you say there's the Nilas HaSandel? If somebody would ask, where is Nilas HaSandel? So one would say, wherever there's Kedusha. So why by the snare? Because it's Har Olakim. That was the place that was Neskadesh with the Marian of Hua, and it was also the place that would be Neskadesh through the Gilui Shechina of Har Sinai, correct? So one would think that that place has some special kind of a value. Some special kind of a value, because it was, all right, it's not the ordinary Kedusha like our biases and that would be given us with Kedusha. But interesting, in the case of Yoshua really completely removes us from this idea. Because by Yoshua it's like this. Vayehi b'yos Yoshua b'yericho. Vayisaina vayar, vine ish omid le megdo vacharbo shlufa biyado. Vayelach Yeshua elo, vayamalo lono aptam lutzareno. Vayamalo, kiani saats for Hashem ata bossi. Vayipol Yeshua upon a vartso vayishtachu. Vayamalo mo adoni medaba lavdo. Okay, so Chazal goes through how it was allowed to be mishtachva to a covered mikra and all. We one time took that up. But it was a Marian of war. It was clearly a Marian of war. Where was Yeshua? In Yericho. So Chazal said he couldn't have been in Yericho because it was before the fall of Yericho. That's the Yericho Segeris and the Segeris. But he was on the outskirts of Yericho. So like Rashi says, Mikan li bur shel ir shel shehim min o'ir. Sheyef shalom b'sach Yericho. Okay. But at any rate, he was around Yericho. So Vayoma Satzvar Hashem Mel Yeshua, the same thing. Shal Naucho Me'al Raglecha, Ki Amokom Asher Ato Omid Olov Kodeshu. Vayas Yeshua came. So Yeshua did the same thing. Over there wasn't Har Olakim. It was not Har Sinai. It was not the Midrash. It was outside of Yericho. So what kind of a Ki Amokom Asher Ato Omid Olov Kodeshu? What kind of Kedusha was in that makkah? Yeah. So I think the idea, it's apparent that the concept of the idea ki amakom masha to omer lov kodesh requires an explanation, as well as the idea of shal no lecho me'al raglecho. What is the concept of shal no lecho me'al raglecho? A few weeks ago, we had a Vayetze, there's in the Haftorah for Vayetze is the Haftorah of Malachi. It's the Haftorah of Malachi. Okay, I'm sorry, Toldos. Excuse me, I made a mistake. The Haftorah of Toldos is the Haftorah of Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im. So that Haftorah is a very interesting Haftorah. It's one that that really almost defies explanation. It's an unusual, very unusual piece of Navi. The what's hard to understand in Malachi is what is his message? What is he teaching? And also what was going on there? If you take a look, he says Malachi Aleph. So he says, "Bein yechaderov ve'ever adonav." Vim avoni ayek vim avoni shakadosh baruch hu says ayek vodi vim adonim ani ayem oroi amar shem tzvakos. And so the Shechina complains. Where's the kavod? Where's the kavod of Shechina? Where's kavod of Hashem? So amar shem lachem akonim bozei shmi v'amartem b'me bozinu l'shmecha. So he says to you, the Kohanim, who will be Mavaza my name. And the Kohanim will say, Bameva Vazim Rashmach. So Malachi gives him a chance to raise the question. So then he gives the answer. Magishim al Mizbechi Lechem Magoal. Va'amartem Bamege al Nucha. He says, you're Magish Lechem Magoal. So then you'll still say, but how? Be'amorchan, Shulchan Hashem Nizel. When you say that God's Shulchan is degraded. So the Mepharshim said, because they didn't like the idea that they have to take the lechem upon him and divide it up, and everybody gets a kezias or a kapul, and they felt that that's a teruf and omol, and what's the difference, the kezias and the kapul? Everybody eats a kezias. Well, what is this? I mean, it's not even though Chazal said they were sveying from that, but the whole idea, they weren't in line with that idea. They didn't like that idea. And then the Navi goes on and says, "Chisagishun iver lizboach ein ra." Okay, the chisagishun iver lizboach ein ra. And you say that if you bring a carbon that's a balmun, there's nothing wrong. The chisagishu piseach v'chola ein ra. So the Navi says, "Akriveu nolafecha secha yitzcha yisuf anecha amar Hashem tzvagos." Would you give that carbon to one of an animal like that to one of your respected officers? Va'ato chaluno pnei keil v'yachaneinu miyed chemoy sazos ha'yisa mikem panim amar Hashem tzvakos. So he says, how could you, the Kohanim, ever think that you could be shlucha Yisrael? With this attitude, with this wrong idea, Rashi says, "Lochon eshalchechem," and that God will help the ones that send you. And then the pasuk goes on and continues, "Ein michefetz b'chem al Hashem tzvakos minuchal eretz miyachem." Why? Ki mi mizrach shemesh va'ad mavor, the Navi says, Godol shmi bagayim. Because God says, in mizrach shemesh va'ad mavor, my name is great among the nations. Uvachol makom mukter mugash l'shmi. And everywheres, the magish kabonis for my name, amincha tahara. Ki godol shmi bagayim, amar Hashem tzvakos. My name is great among the nations. Va'atem machalamos, v'amorcham shulchan Hashem magolu, v'nivo nizachlo. And then he goes on again. Amatem inim atlo v'pachtemoso, v'vesim gozul v'sam piseach, v'vesim ha'erzel also miyadchem amar Hashem. Never repeats. V'oru nochel. And cursed is the one that uses trickery. V'yesh bedra zochar. But no devil's avech moshchas l'Hashem. He has a good animal and he brings a bad one. And then again, ki melech godol ani amar Hashem tzvakos. I'm a great melech who shmi no ravagoyim. And my name is feared among the nations. I mean, it's a strange kind of a thing, this Navi. I mean, ordinarily the Navi puts down the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters. And with regard to Yisrael, the Navi usually puts down the fact that they bring Kabbonis and they think through Kabbonis they're going to obtain something. When it's not the Korban that does anything, but it's only the change in the individual. So ordinarily, the Navi says just the opposite, the exact opposite. The Navi puts down the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Klal Yisrael, the Navi rebukes Klal Yisrael for bringing good kabbonis, because they think that bringing good kabbonis, they do it in a fashion which is idolatrous, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with the kabbonis. He doesn't need the kabbonis. That's ordinarily what the Navi says. And over here, it seems exactly the opposite. That the Navi is saying that you're bringing kabbonis that are no good. You should bring good kabbonis. And the goyim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're good. Kishmi and Narab HaGoyim. It's almost an exact reversal. Very strange, very, very strange Navi in Malachi. What is the Navi really getting at? What is the situation that he's trying to correct, the flaw? You see, there are two flaws in man. One flaw in man is where an individual, and that's most of the Nevi'im, where the individual is reduced to the primitive. When he's reduced to the primitive, and he follows the primitive ideas, the Derech Avodah Zarah. So it's true that he uses Migdash, but he is basically in a primitive frame of mind. Just like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah think that they can they set up gods and they appease them through their sacrifices. So too, Klal Yisrael thinks that the sacrifices will so to speak benefit them, and in their minds they think like they're appeasing the Creator. So this is what Yeshayahu HaNavi talks about, that's nonsensical, and on the contrary, it's a worthless and harmful performance. That's ordinarily the criticism of the Navi. That's one mode of sin is to take the primitive notions and to try to push them into the system of Yadus. That's a great chait. And that chait, the Navi constantly rebukes Klal Yisrael. They think that they can take primitive ideas and use the tzuras and mitzvahs in the primitive fashion and attain something. Not on the contrary, that's the worst evil. That's the worst evil. That's what the Navi reprimands Klal Yisrael for. But then there's another kind of a sin, another kind of a chait. That's the chait that Malachi is pointing out, though. That chait is, I would say, if I were just to use an expression, that's the chait of the philosopher, you might say. A philosopher's chait, okay? A person who, on the contrary, who is very sophisticated, and a person who is very learned, and a person who is very intellectual. But there's another kind of a chait that a person could fall into. And that's Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, addresses himself to that chait. What is that chait? That chait is as follows. That a person will fancy himself an intellectual, And since he's an intellectual, so there's no need for him to engage in the Maisei HaMitzvah, so to speak, because he's above that. There's no reason for it. In other words, if you will say to him, well, where is your Kavod Shemayim? His response would be, there's no need. God doesn't need Kavod. This is a nonsensical idea, a primitive idea. And ordinarily, you say, but for a Melech, you have Kavod? So I say, yeah, Melech needs Kavod. So that's appropriate. Why do I give Kavod to the Melech? Because it's a matter of propriety. He's a human being. So because he's a human being, so therefore I have to act in a certain way to appease him, to make him feel good, to make him feel important, that's necessary for the Malchus, many reasons. So that's by a Melech Basar Adam. But the Melech Malchi Amlochim, there's no reason for such a thing. It's nonsensical. So therefore, the whole idea of the idea of Kavod Shemayim is intellectually not necessary. So what difference does it make if I'm a spalel without the proper begadim or with the begadim? I mean, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference. Well, he doesn't care. I mean, there's no it doesn't make a difference vis-a-vis a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's only for us. So for us, there's no necessity for such a thing, because we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a high level and an intellectual level, and we know that this is not necessary. So the idea of Kvod Shemayim is something which, for such an individual, is nonsensical. There's no reason for it. This individual is the opposite of the other individual. The primitive individual is the one that engages in a primitive notion, and therefore he misuses the Kabbonis in that way. And the intellectual is of the other opinion. He doesn't make the mistake of the primitive man. He says, on the contrary, logically, there's no reason for me to do things that God, this is not necessary. He doesn't need this. So why should I do it? That was the philosophy that existed in the time of Malachi. That's why over there in the country, you see, in the other times, the nation was in a primitive state. That was, the Nevi'im rebuked them for that. But in the time of Malachi, they were on an intellectual plane. So there, what they said was, this is all unnecessary. So what difference does it make to go and eat a kezias from the shulchan, from lachem apanani? What is it? It's not necessary. This type of activity is just not necessary. And kabbanis, what difference does it make? So that's why they were makriv. They weren't careful, and they were makriv the kabbonos apusim. Why? They didn't want to openly not do it, but their underlying idea was that there's no real reason for this. There's no real reason for this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need kabbonos, and we're on a high plane and we recognize that. So therefore, this type of activity is absolutely nonsensical. It would be like a person saying that, what reason is there for me to dress up for tefillah? There's no reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't enjoy the fact that I'm dressed up. That's a melech basar adam, and chas v'sholem to even entertain such an idea that for Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a difference if I'm dressed or if I'm not dressed. So therefore, the individual intellectually will come to the conclusion that there is no reason for Kvod Shemayim. You see, that's the rebuke of Malachi. He says, "Ben yichadero veven adono vim of ani ayet vodi vim adono mani imoroi amar Hashem tzvakos." So, and then the Navi says, then on the, that this philosophy, on the contrary, with this philosophy, you're lower than the Ode Lector. You think it's an advance because you think that you've risen to an intellectual plane. But on the contrary, that philosophy is really lower than the philosophy of the Ode Lector. That's what the post says. Kim Mizrach Shemesh V'Yad Mavo, Godol Shmi Badoyim, Uvachol Mokom Mukta Mugash L'Shmi, Umincha Tahora. So Rashi says, Amru Rabosinu, the Korule Elod Elohayo, Afilu Mi Shiyeshlo Avodazor Yodea Shehu Al Kulam, Uvachomakom Misnazim Lashmi. So the critique of the Navi is that you think that this intellectuality places you on a higher plane. But on the contrary, you're on a lower plane than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are making a mistake in how to serve God. And they're making a mistake in the idea of how God relates to the universe. And this is, of course, a mistake in the idea of God as well. But nevertheless, they do recognize the existence of God over everything. So they do have an idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this idea, whatever is wrong in their service, but still behind everything is the idea that Melech Godol Ani. They still recognize Kvod Shamayim. So these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, with their wrong notions and their wrong ideas, nevertheless, there's one idea over here in which they're superior to you, and that is that they recognize that there is a reality of Kvod Shamayim. And that's, in that sense, they are above Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael that he is relating to is the state of Klal Yisrael at the time, which was an intellectual state where the intellectuality led to the conclusion that Kvod Shamayim is simply unnecessary. That, the Navi says, is not only wrong, but the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are closer to the truth than you are, because they do recognize Melech Gadol Ani, and they Gadol Shmi V'Goyim Amar Shem Tzvakos. That they are superior to you, because here they are closer to the truth. Because they recognize that the Shem Hashem, the man's kavod and the man's yira, that they are right in that. That's the Navi's rebuke. That's the rebuke of Malachi. So what is this idea? This idea is really mentioned. Interesting. It's mentioned in the Maran Avuchim. And the Ramah begins the Shulchan Aruch with that quote from the Maran Avuchim in Siman Aleph. In Siman Aleph, Halach Aleph. So the Ramah says, Shivisi Ad Hashem L'negdi Samid, Hu Kwa Gadol Batara, Hu B'maylas HaTzadikim HaShaholchim L'fnei Olekim. He quotes the Maran Avuchim. Ki Ein Yeshivas Ha'odam U'tnu Osa V'Iskov. Because his activities is Ezehu Levada Baveso are not the same when he's alone in his house. Ki Yeshivaso Utnu Osov V'Iskov V'Hu L'Fnei Melech Gadol. As his activities would be, his movements and his activities would be in front of a great Melech. V'Lo Diburo V'Archovas Piv Kirtzono V'Hu L'Manche Beso. And the way he speaks at will when he's with his family, Ukrovov, Kidiburo b'moshav ha-melech. Kolskein kishiyasim odam alibo, sh'ha-melech ha-gadol ha-kadosh baruch hu, sh'ha-molei kol oretz kvodo, omeid olav rov masov, k'mashnema nisosish b'mistarim v'anilo renirim ha-shem, miyad yagia ilav ha-yira v'achno, The Fachar Hashem is Baruch Hu Shem Meir. Moran Avuchim Chela Gimel Perek Nun Beis. Yeah. It's, he's quoting the Moran. The Moran says, Ein Yeshiva Sa'odam Usnu Osov V'Sashmishov K'Shehu Levado V'Veso K'Shivosot Nu Osov V'Sashmishov K'Shehu Lefnei Melech Gadol. Lo Devoro V'Chafiyuso K'Shehu Ben Anche Beso Krolov K'Devor Moshe V'Melech. Lefikach, mi shehedif es hashlimos, es hashlimos anushis, v'shigia ish holakim be'emes, yisorer v'yeda ki ha-melech ha-godol ha-ofef oso v'anitzmad lo tomid, godol mikol echod mibnei adam, v'afilo ha-yazer dover u'shlomo. Okay, so the, and Ram continues. I'm not going to go into the another parsha with Ram. The continuing the Rambam actually abbreviated the Rambam, took a part of the Rambam, but it didn't really complete the Rambam, because the Rambam is the rest of the Rambam is based on a very philosophical idea, but up to that point. He quoted the Rambam, which is the idea that Kvod Shamayim is a reality. That Kvod Shamayim is a metaphysical reality, which means to say that even though we see the mistake of the philosophers was that they negated the emotions. So they said that the emotions have no value. So the emotions distort a person's understanding and distort his way of thinking, which is correct. But because of that, they concluded that the emotions play no role in Avodas Hashem. And that is against Yahadus. That's really what Malachi's criticism. Malachi's criticism was that you can't. It is true, there are two pitfalls here. Most of the Nevi'im speak about the first pitfall, the pitfall into the pit of the emotions. But then there is another pitfall, and that is out of the pit of the emotions, where the individual thinks that the emotions play no role. And on the contrary, if the emotions play no role, so then there's no reason for Kvod Shamayim. Absolutely no reason for Kvod Shamayim. That's the issue that Malachi is addressing. So Kol HaTorah Kula maintains, on the contrary, that an Odom HaSholem has emotions. And the perfection of man is that insofar as he has emotions, these emotions must be directed towards Kvod Shamayim. So if the individual does not do so then he is further away from the truth that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have. So, and that's basically what the Rambam is saying, that in Yeshiva Sa'odom, Utnivosov Tashmishov Kishula Vado Beveso, Kishivosot Nivosov Tashmishov Kishula Fnei Melor Gadol. That is in the Sod in Kol HaTorah Kula, that an individual must summon those emotions. And those emotions must fall in line with the true objective of those emotions, which is the Melech Gadol, Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the individual fails to bring those emotions in line, then he is in a state of serious imperfection. Not a state of perfection, which he may think, because he's philosophical about it, but that philosophical takes a person, on the contrary, it removes him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the individual that truly recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu means he must do so with all of his emotional makeup. So you see, when an individual, there's another bit of insight here. When an individual is in front of the Melech, it's true that his aim may be to please the Melech. But in that state, stepping into a certain realm of emotion also. It's not that the individual is calculated in every step that he does before the Melech like a robot, like an automaton. There is something genuine in his emotional makeup that he's making recourse to. And that is a concept of awe and reverence. I mean, I want to do it, but the fact is that he doesn't think logically each step, think it out, how he's going to act in front of the Melech. He dips into a certain vein, so to speak, where he taps a certain vein. And once he does, there is a certain kavod which emerges, and he knows how to act naturally once he's in that mode. That mode, that vein, is the one that must be tapped for kavod shamayim. And if it's not, then the person is distorted. Then it means that the individual, as a human being, is not in line with kavod shamayim, with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not a philosophical height that he has reached, but on the contrary, it is a very low level where he's in a state of denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yadus teaches. Yes.
Can you just explain that last point again?
Okay. Which last one, about the individual in front of the Melech?
Yeah, tapping into that.
Okay. In other words, when a person stands in front of a Melech, so it's true, he doesn't want to go see the Melech. But when he goes to the Melech, and it's a burden for him, but when he goes to the Melech, he acts in a certain manner. And the way he acts towards the Melech is not a step-by-step, logically analyzed, individual activities type of thing. In other words, not that he says, now I'll move my hand this way, now I'll do this, now I'll do that. He simply taps into a reservoir of emotion of kavod, you see, which is a part of his nature. And that's why he knows how to act in front of the Melech. He doesn't have to think every little thing he does, because all he has to do is place himself in a state of awe, and he'll know what to do, what the right things are, which things fall into line with that, and which things don't, you see? So there is in man that element of awe, you see, which is a part of his emotional makeup. So that reservoir, that element, must be tapped with regard to man's relationship to God. You see, he must tap into that. If he doesn't, then as a man, as a human being, he has no relationship to God. His relationship to God is flawed, you see. Is lacking. That's what the Navi is saying. You know, Gadol Ani, Shmi Mohu Bagayim, Aye Kvodi Aye Moroi. That's what Al Mashon Tzvakos. That's what Malachi is saying. That you think you're intellectual, but you're not, because you think you're intellectual because you think God doesn't need it. But the truth of the matter is that man, insofar as he is an Adam, must summon all those elements in his nature and subordinate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mora and the Yira must emerge together with simultaneously. It's a metaphysical reaction. The individual, the true metaphysician in Yahadus, it's a lot in line with what we said before, is not a dichotomized intellectual entity. The true perfection in man and his pursuit of knowledge is determined by one thing. It's determined by his perfection, and his perfection involves his human elements, and the human elements must all be in line with the reality of God. So insofar as he fails to bring this part of his nature in line, so he fails in approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's distant from God, more distant than the Avdei Avodah Zarah. That's what the Navi says. That's the rebuke of the Navi, you see. Yizach Shemesh Admiral, Shemim Rubanim. It's true, they're wrong. They make mistakes and they don't know how to serve God. But they do recognize Melech Gadol, they do recognize that, and they do recognize that's awesome, and that demands that the emotions of man come into line with that idea, that they're right, and that you're wrong. That's the rebuke of Malachi. It's a different kind of rebuke than the rebuke of the other Nevi'im, you see. And that's the Yesod in Yahadus, and it ties in with the first Yesod. Because really everything in Yahadus is pursuit of Chachma. But pursuit of Chachma is not in the way an ordinary secular intellectual would conclude. It's a completely counterintuitive system where the Chachma emerges because of the individual's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon his essence as a human being, as an Adam, being in line with the reality of the creator of the universe. If it's in line with that reality, so then he's in a state of awe. He's a state of mora. And he's in a state of realization of Klal Shamayim. You see, that's the state of man. And in that state, he attains the greatest knowledge. That is the way that he attains the greatest knowledge. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im, made the most crucial steps and the greatest gains because through mitzvahs, through being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through every element in his nature, even though things that were the most difficult things, fell in line with the Kvod Shemayim, with the reality of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that took place, the Mayonos HaChachma were opened to him, and he received the highest level attainable of Yedias Hashem, and of course of Nevuah, that Tel Tadar, upon him. So the formula over here is over here in this pasuk is really the formula. So what is the shalno lecha me'al raglecha? Shalno lecha me'al raglecha yad maskarishu is not because the land, the earth has kedusha. That's not true. The earth doesn't have any kedusha. The earth is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it doesn't make any difference if you're outside Yericho or if you're in the Har HaLakim. Makes no difference whatsoever. The idea of Shalno Alecha is simply the idea what the Rambam says. What the Rambam says in the Mar Nevochim. That Ein Yeshiva Sa'odam Utnu Osa V'Tashmishov Kishehu Levado Beveso Ki Yeshiva Sa'odam Osa V'Tashmishov Kishehu Lefnei Melech Gadol. It means that over here you can't walk in the same ordinary manner. In the manner that is practical and ordinary, which is to wear shoes. That's the practical, hiluch. But that's very nice kishodam bevesav, or when he's on the street, in his ordinary daily activities, in his ordinary walk. But when he's listening to Melech Gadol, he has to abandon that. It's not over there, it's shalom alecha. This is over here, it's different. Kiyad maskarisho. Because he's before the Shechina. And it's interesting that this halacha of Shalno Lecha was not just a halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu. And this, by the way, is from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im. That for him as well, he was not exempt. He had to, in spite of the fact that he was such a great Navi at the time. But nevertheless, he had to remove himself from, he had to bring in line that element of his nature and the realization that this is a removal, this entails a removal from the ordinary. And therefore the hiluch on this spot at the time of the Ashra Shechina cannot be in an ordinary practical manner where one wears shoes. And you see this, it's a removal, a removal from of the hiluch of the derech haolam. It's ein yeshivaso shel adam beveso kemo tnuosaf kemo shehulaf nei melach gadol. That's the shalom alecha. That's why Yeshua the same thing. Doesn't matter if he's yericho. Doesn't matter if he's haralekim. And this halacha of shalom alecha is really a halacha, not just from Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't just a tzivu from Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was really a tzivu l'doros. Was a tzivu. This became a tzivu l'doros because the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Samach Beis on the Beis, the Gemara says that the Gemara says. If a person spits on Harabayis b'zman hazeh, kino rokeg b'baseino, like he spits in the apple of his eye. Shenema v'hoya eini v'li b'shom kol hayamim. Okay? So it means it's as if he's spitting in desecration of the Kvod of the Kvod Shemayim. So he says, I'm a rova. So see, the Gemara has a whole question of whether you're allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaKnesses. That's the sugya in Brachos. Because you might say that in the Beis HaKnesses you can't wear any shoes. Because Beis HaKnesses is different. That's Hiluch Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe Hazy Kamokane the Taisus had a doubt whether a Shliach Tzibor is allowed to wear shoes. So you see, the idea of wearing shoes is an idea that was Kavur L'doros. And Harabayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes. Why? Not because of Harabayis, but because of the Kvod Shemayim. And even Bezman Hazeh, the Rambam, what is the idea? That is the mark of the Kvod Shemayim. The mark of Kvod Shemayim is that the Hiluch over here is not Kehilucho in general, the way he ordinarily walks around. Ordinarily, he's concerned and he has to wear shoes. Over here, this is a different Hiluch. Shal no lecha ma'al raglecha. That's the Sifut. The Rambam says it most clearly in the Yara Chazaka, and where he has the halacha of where he formulates the halacha of the issur of wearing shoes, and the end of the in the base Hilchas Beis Abchira. He says like this. He says, the Ezui Yir Oso, Pershvi, Lo Yikones Odom Laharabayas Bemaklo, O Beminol Sheberaglov, O Ba Fundoso, O Ba Avak Shelal Raglov, O Bemos Atrum, O Besadino. Okay, then it's Lama Shasul Lorak Bechal Harabayas. Okay. And in the beginning, in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvahs Asay, Liyira min ha-migdash, shenema u-migdashay kiro, v'lo min ha-migdash ata yore, elo mi she-tziva al yirasa. So it's Yiras Hashem. There's nothing special about the particular land. It's Yiras Hashem. It's not the migdash. It's not the makom that deserves, that warrants any kind of a yira. It's Misha Tziva B'Yirasa. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Kvod Shemayim. That's the idea of Shalom Alecha Me'al Raglecha. Shalom Alecha Me'al Raglecha is the principle of Malachi. It's the Yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula of Kvod Shemayim and the concept of perfection, and the whole concept of chokhmah and pursuit of chokhmah, which is a completely counterintuitive idea to the completely different thinking, a whole different way of thinking about what intellectuality is and what chokhmah is and the derech of the pursuit of chokhmah. And basically, it's all expressed in the pasuk of Al Tikrav Halom, Shal Melech Melechim, Kiyamakim Hashem Ta'omer Levad Maskarashu. That's the concept of Shal Melech. The one that there's no difference between, there's nothing special about Nahalayim. See, it's an interesting thing that the Gemara in Sota says, question is, why do Kohanim remove their shoes? So the Gemara says two things. The Gemara says like this. He should always have a fear of the tzibur. So you see that the Om is an element, is an entity that deserves kavod, the Am Hashem. So a person should have a certain kavod, a certain awe for the Am Hashem, because they are Am Hashem. So you see, because the Kohanim turn their backs to the Shechinah, they face the Am. So you see that the Am Hashem reflects Kavod Shemayim. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know this? How do you know this is so? So the Nachman Mehachar quotes the pasuk, and then the Gemara says like this. Rabbanon Amri Mehachar, Dein Kohanim Rashoyim Lalos Besandoleim Leduchan, Vizeu Achas Miteisha Takona Sheiskin Rebechim Ben Zakai, My Taima Lav Mishum Kvod Sibor. Isn't that the reason? So you see that the Shal Malacha has nothing to do with the idea of shoes. I mean, there's nothing to do with any kind of symbolisms of shoes and this and that. It's nonsense. It's simply even you do it in Makom. Even the Kavod Tzibur, the Gemara says, would demand that a person should remove his shoes. Lav Mishum Kavod Tzibur, because wherever there's Kvod Shemayim, there's Alocha of Shal Malecha. It means that the individual must forego his ordinary, normal, practical way of his normal pursuits. That's the Shal Malecha. So even Kavod Tzibur, according to one Mandam of the Gemara, that's the reason why the Kohanim take off their shoes, because of Kavod Tzibur. Not because of the makom, but because of the kavod tzibur. So the shal no lecho is, what's the principle of shal no lecho? Is the principle of the Rambam. In yeshiva sa'odom, kishu levada beveso, kimo kishu lefnei melach gadol. The Ramos quote, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, from the Maran Aruch. Okay, everybody, so I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
When Chazal say "Chum Tzar Avra," that's referring to the technical mastery of the Torah.
I can't go into Chum Tzar Avra right now. It's too big an area.
I understand the first part.
But in this respect, you're right. It means that an individual that goes through the painstaking task of bringing all his emotions in line with the Kvod Shemayim, that insofar as he will have, insofar as his difficulties will be, his Cha will be. That is correct. That is a direct ratio. That would be true. That would definitely be true. That's correct. Because insofar as his painstaking efforts are concerned, that's exactly according to the pain of his efforts, which is uprooting is instinctual, and he's bringing it in line with Rosh Hashanah, that's exactly how much schar he will reap. That's correct. That principle would be correct over there, yes. Okay, any other questions? That's different. Hello?
Yeah, it's different.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. What's the question? I'm sorry, I missed the question. Do it again.
Rather, to indicate his level of what?
I don't understand the question. I mean, his level of what? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get it. I know you're fine.
In other words, you said by
Moshe
Rabbeinu
from Sarago. What is it? What do you have to have from Sarago? You want to use that? I mean, I don't understand. I explained to you what from Sarago, how it would apply over here. It's true, over here it would apply. But I don't know what more there is to go into it. That they're right. They do have that idea. They are afraid of God. You see, even by Yosef, where they thought it was an Egyptian, he said, "So what came in the yard?" And anything was strange.
Well, Rebbe?
Yeah.
I didn't follow that last point because you said before that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have a corrupt idea of God, so they're
corrupt in one corrupt in a sense, but their recognition, they do recognize God. The Rambam says that that's what Navi says. Navi says that Milo Yerocham Malach Hagayim. The Rambam has it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. That the, as a matter of fact, the Rambam in Amor Nevuchim says that a person that thinks that God has emotions is worse than the other Avodah Zarah, because at least they don't mistake that. They don't make that mistake. So you see, they do have an idea of God.
If you're talking about a particular type of the Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but that there are a lot of them like that. Yeah, of course he's talking about. He says even that's what the Gemara says. Even a guy that serves an idol knows that there's one above all of them.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you an example. He's saying, I just want to, just so you shouldn't think it's remote. If you read Wallace Budge on the Egyptian religion, and he's the foremost Egyptologist, he makes it clear that the way that people think of idolaters is completely wrong. And the way he has it is exactly what the Rambam says. The Egyptians were not stupid. They didn't think that these idols had any power. He says it was all an image, and they believed in one God above everything. But they couldn't, they believed they're too distant, and they can't serve that God. But they recognized one God over everything. It's clear. He says that's one of the biggest mistakes that that the Western world makes in their thoughts about idolaters. He states it clearly. That's what the Navi says, and that's what the Rambam says, and that's the Anas. And that's exactly true. That's Milo Yerocham Malach Hagayim. And so far as that is concerned, their idea is superior. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to serve Avodah Zarah. But this is worse, because this is a denial of the Kedushat Shemayim. And that they don't deny.
Rebbe?
Yes.
You wouldn't say that about Christianity.
What's that?
You wouldn't say something like that about Christianity, that is...
No, because they don't believe in one God.
Right.
They don't. Now that is simply a humanization of the deity. That's really destructive. That's completely reducing. That's where the individual just is looking for the comforts of a child, and they're creating a father. They're creating a human father. That is really that's a far gone level. That's not even a level. But the Egyptians were on a higher level. Egyptians are on a higher level. And if you study, if you read it, well, it's very interesting. You should read it, really. Wallace Budge on the religion of the Egyptians. And what he says is exactly what the Navi says, exactly what the Rambam says, and that's the Navi in the Malachi. It's not that the Navi is serious. He's not just saying things, you know, that sound good. He's serious. He's saying that you are worse than them. And that is true.
It's not just hyperbole.
No, it's not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole. It's real. I mean, I hope maybe I didn't get that across clear enough, but I think you should understand. It's real. He's saying that in a person who removes his emotions in the service of God is worse than an old Lazar. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, literally. Because at least they recognize, okay, they make a mistake. They think they can't get to God. They make mistakes. There's no question about it. And there's no question that it's an abomination. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other abominations that are even worse. That's what the Rambam says. A person that serves God and thinks that God has emotions is worse than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It seems he's more sophisticated than they are. No, he is not. He's further removed from the truth. And over here, insofar as serving God, these people are further removed from the truth than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In the realm of serving God, these people are further removed. That's what's another thing. That sophisticated intellectual approach is further removed than the most primitive people, the people that you ridicule. They are closer to the truth than you are. That's what the Navi's saying. That's the Musa of the Mother. Navi, it's real. It's not a, I mean, it's a, I hope I didn't make this clear. It's a real rebuke. It's not hyperbole. All right, yes.
Okay, so
if we didn't have emotions, you couldn't do it. I mean, the emotional quotient mind stems from the fact that we have emotions. And the pursuit of knowledge stems from the fact that it's all more akin. We can't do anything for something we don't have. A higher level of what? That you don't use any emotions? For a malach, maybe, not for us. And I would add one more thing also. That Moshe, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, don't think that a mitzvah is a light thing. The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos. He says, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, even though he couldn't complete it. Why? Because he knew that a mitzvah is the greatest vehicle of perfection. So even a person who's the Adon HaNaviim, even for him, he is not wasting his time when he's engaging in a mitzvah, rather than engaging in the highest metaphysical speculation. You say, even Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam says. That Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos. So insofar as we are Odom, we have to serve God insofar as we are endowed with the elements of Odom, with every element that we have. And to think that we could be, that we can simply remove ourselves from that is just arrogance. It's just arrogance and non-reality. That's what the Navi is saying. That's really the message of the Navi. It was a different kind of philosophy in the time of Malachi. Different philosophy. It was an intellectual philosophy. But equally harmful. Equally harmful.
Rebbe?
Yes.
What about the fact that someone who's Torah Samanaso is Pater from Tefillah? Is that a separate point?
That's a separate thing. That's a separate thing. And even you see, even the Torah Samanaso, Rebbe is told once a month. And that's different. That's a different kind of thing.
Separate.
He's not putta from everything. He's not putta from Kol Tera Kula, all the mitzvahs there. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. That's a different type of person, different thing. A person that individual has to know what he, you know, a person on that level is in a different. Is in a different realm. But even that person does not put them in a mitzvah. Not put them in a mitzvah. He has to sit down not put them in a mitzvah. Certain things, yes. He can adjust certain adjustments. Yeah. He has a right to make certain adjustments. But that's a different thing. That's a person that knows why and how. It's a different realm.
Would you say that... Brother Mao, which the Rambam paints the picture that he went from country to country, he went to burn the perishing of Shai, to give an example. And he got persecuted.
I don't think we have a right to do something. I don't know. That's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a day alayv b'nei Adam and Tzadikim, and we can't, I mean, what we say? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can't say anything about that. Yes.
Why is this philosophical okay work? Because, I mean, at least this person also recognizes that God is so great and removed that he can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, because it's very bad, because the whole purpose of everything is the Avodas Adam. And so far as Avodas Adam is concerned, he's totally distorted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need his recognition.
But that
doesn't take a recognition of the greatest of Hashem. No, it doesn't, because let me explain something to you. You know, everybody always asks the same kind of question, every time and time again. We're not here to measure and to say, this guy is this, a good guy or a bad guy. What the Torah teaches is ideas. And this idea is corrupt. And so far as Avodas Hashem is concerned, this is an essentially corrupt idea. Because it means that the Avodas HaAdam is complete. Once a thing is corrupt, it's corrupt. It's based upon an arrogance. It's based upon a denial of what he is as an Adam. It's based upon a lot of flaws. So insofar as Avodas Hashem, he is nil. Now you want to know, does he have anything? What's the purpose of going into that? I mean, I don't know. What kind of a chelik will have in Olam Haba? That's not my business. That's not anybody's business. Is it a corrupt idea that severely removes him from Avodas Hashem and places him outside the realm of Avodas Hashem? Absolutely. He's outside the realm. He has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. Does he have any idea that's good? Yeah, Avodas Hashem have good ideas too. They don't have it. Every idea is wrong. But insofar as Avodas Hashem is concerned, they are out of the ballpark. That's what the Navi is saying. That over here also, insofar as Avodas Hashem is concerned, you're out of the ballpark. It's not a slight error. It's an essential error which removes the individual from Avodas Hashem, just like Avodah Zarah will remove a person from Avodas Hashem. You want to know which one's worse and who has a little bit more of the truth? It doesn't make any difference. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference. You want to speculate, the person can speculate anything. But that's not what the Navi is interested in. Navi is interested in teaching the people of Derech Hashem and what is an absolute corruption. And the Navi says this is another absolute corruption. It may look better, but it's not. Because better or worse is dependent upon if you're in the realm of Avodas Hashem. And the Navi is saying you are not. So that's it. Period. So you want to know, does the guy have any idea that's good? Yes, but is he serving God? No. That's the answer. Which way would you rather be if you... I mean, these are like idle speculation. I don't see the. I'm not saying that any knowledge is that any knowledge is worthless. I mean, every piece of knowledge is worthwhile. But that's not the point over here. You know, that's not the point over here. If a person starts asking these types of questions, it means that they're trying to find some kind of a value in that. And there is no value in it, because why should we seek a value in something which is not a Avodas Hashem? That corruption will make it ipso facto impossible for the individual to progress in terms of Avodas Hashem. He can't progress. That's it. Just like an Avodas Zarah, he can't progress. There's no. What is the definition of Avodas Zarah? Is an individual can't progress. That's it. Impossible. Yes. No, that's what we see. No, we see there isn't. I mean, that, we can't determine these things, but the Torah determines how it's expressed. But that's the idea. That's the idea of Nihilus Asandal. That's the concept. That's the concept of Shalom Alecha. Okay, Rabosai. By the way, did you take the questions? Good, because I think I clarified a certain point there that I didn't clarify in the shiur when I was giving the shiur. I'm glad that we were able to come back around to it.
Yeah.
Last point, yes.
The idea you were referring when you gave the shiur recently, the
I don't remember. I don't know. I don't think that's the same thing. I mean, I don't think it's the same idea. And it's a different idea. Yes. Okay, everybody. Okay, call it up.